Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Oi, oi. Now we're into the fun stuff. This is a rich tapestry of an episode where you can hear both the excitement of the end of the project on the horizon in two of my voices, and also the resentment and the sort of negatively geared chemistry of reaching the end of a large chunk of work. It's all done with love and humor, but I'm hearing two guys who are, well, one of them's me. It's a very sing-songy sort of episode. It's a bit of sort of, we speculate about what would happen if we fell out, and even joke about the podcast becoming the sole thread of a friendship. There's a reference to It's Always Sunny, which is, I would say, a testament to the longevity of that show. And also, huge shout out to David Krause. We describe what sounds like a pretty gross and experimental piece of comedy he was doing at the time the episode was made. Otherwise, you know, we're on the home stretch. We're looking at, I guess, four more episodes until it's time to be called Guy.
Oh, Steve Austin,
wah, 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 wah.
You come from Boston,
wah, 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 wah.
But not really, 'cause you're a famous Texan. Oh, Steve Austin,
wah, 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 wah.
You come from Boston,
Boston.
But not really,
'cause you're a famous
fucking Texan.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, everybody. It's Tim and Guy here from the Worst Idea of All Time podcast, where we watch and review Grown Ups 2 every week for a year. We've almost done it. We're nearly there, mate. Four to go. We just did number 48.
That's right. 48, a very significant number for me, Tim. 48 is the age of Adam Sandler at time of record. 48 also represents, at an average of half an hour per podcast, one full day, 24 hours of discussing Grown Ups 2.
That said, you want another stat? I did the math on this. We've been watching the movie for 3.4 days, like day and night.
Full days.
Yeah. Actually, it's 3.5.
Okay, whatever, man.
How much does that suck?
Not that much.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But look. It was a very long watch today.
It was the longest, I think.
It was very long. And I felt like a lot of the actors weren't trying.
Yeah, I felt that as well.
I felt like, to use an analogy, I haven't watched a Broadway show 48 times in a row, but I feel like if you did watch it, no, because they do. But it felt like the 48th night for this show on Broadway, and all the actors, maybe they had a big party last night. It was maybe their favorite cast member's birthday, and
yeah,
they just showed up on the stage and were just like, well, we might as well just get through this so we can go and sleep off this raging hangover I have from that dope party we had on a rooftop in Soho last night.
Yeah, it was like watching a matinee today. It was like matinee after a birthday party.
It's a weird vibe, isn't it?
It was low energy and no one was really bringing the noise.
But then in turn, Tim, I considered this notion while watching, is you can flip that on its head and say that the actor's performance,
yes,
or the way we read it, is a direct mirror of how we're doing.
Well, that makes sense because obviously,
so the movie,
they're not performing for us inside the television.
No,
every
yeah.
time.
So either the movie is or is becoming a mirror.
Uh-oh.
And I don't think the filmmakers created Grown Ups 2. I don't think it was intended as a barometer for how the audience is feeling.
It's funny how it all works though, isn't it?
So we've really pushed through a barrier there.
Did Marie Carey know when she was inventing microwaves and whatnot? Probably not.
I don't know a lot about the origins of the microwave.
Me neither.
Pretty impressive though. People always say, when are we going to have robots do everything for us? You know, like Betty on the Jetsons.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a microwave, a dishwasher, an oven, a fridge.
Yeah.
We got them.
Yeah.
I think what people are waiting for because of sci-fi and TV is it all to be rolled into one all-purpose robot.
You're right about that.
But then that's when the robots are becoming probably we're leaning on them too much and we'll forget the basic skills which enable us to get through a day. And then if technology was to fold in on itself and collapse, none of us would have the basic life skills to survive.
You ever see WALL-E, the Pixar movie?
No.
It's real.
I got a real, like, I'll tell you what, I could watch the shit out of that movie right now.
WALL-E is so fucking good. It's such a good movie. There's barely any dialogue in the first half hour.
I don't think Pixar's taken a bad step yet.
Cars 2.
Yeah, that is the main blight. I haven't seen Cars 2. I liked Cars though.
So
I love that Owen Wilson.
In WALL-E.
He's so happy-go-lucky.
In WALL-E, that's very much how the humans are because it's set in the future and the humans are terrible. They're all just like soft, slovenly pieces of shit floating around on these little hovercraft things and they're unable to do anything for themselves. It's quite awesome, but also super bleak.
So yeah, so stop leaning on bloody the people who design kitchens to design an all-purpose kitchen robot.
Exactly. Betty's not going to exist. And if she does, then that's a sign we've gone too far, people. We're in the golden age of robots. So yeah. Just enjoy it. Live
you don't
it up.
Want, what this, you don't want is sentient robots.
This is like, you know how when the global financial crisis hit and everyone said, oh, the economy shat itself. We had so many years of good growth. Everyone was like, I don't remember it being that good. This we're in the good times.
Yeah, and so, you don't realize it because you're always looking ahead.
Why does it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone?
And pay a paradise
and put up a parking lot. Ooh, pop, 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 pop.
Who sings the original? I can only remember the Counting Crows version
Tracy.
Of Vanessa Carlton. Not Tracy Chapman.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Oh. You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure it's not.
So, Grown Ups 2.
Yeah,
how about
bro.
That? How about that movie that we saw again? You know what? I opened up my notebook today to take some notes because we don't have any beers.
Hey, good on you.
And I thought something better happen today. And I actually turned into the page where it's got the notes from the first watch, just coincidentally. Do you want me to revisit that?
Just anything that you deem interesting.
I've obviously jotted down what happens in the movie. It's like a chronology. And the first thing is Adam Sandler, comma, a moose, comma, Selma Hayek, space, Kevin James and his stupid kids, Chris Rock, comma, poopy dance, David Spade and mystery son, soft toy dismemberment, 3-point system, smile, compliment, date, quote mark, say it's true even if it isn't. That's amazing that I picked up that John Lovitz quote even on the first watch. That was something great.
It's not that amazing,
and
bro.
Because
you're just, what you're doing, This is like anyone who goes into a movie and writes down what happens and tells other people as if it's interesting. It's not amazing that you remembered a quote the first time you watched the movie. Anything else?
Not really. I've got a heading here that says to address an Epton. I don't think we ever addressed those. What was the movie Guy saw that he hated and wrote a review of online? I remember this. That you walked out of?
No, I didn't walk out of it. I saw the whole thing. I hate you, Beth. I love you, Beth Cooper.
Oh, you do remember. I don't think we ever addressed that.
No,
wow, we're
crazy.
Really tightening up all the loose ends as we get to the finish line.
Yeah, with Hayden Panettiere and some other guy. Who
that
I think
was
gone on to be a reasonable like sketch actor or comedy actor.
That was off the back of her Heroes fame, eh?
I remember.
She was the cheerleader.
I remember the movie was based on a book by one of the Simpsons writers, and I thought it was poorly executed at the time. Although, I tell you what, I mean, I've said it before, my perspective on films is all askew now, so I would fucking happily sit down to a helping of I Love You, Beth Cooper right now.
I got so pissed off because I watched Superbad the other night, and I fucking love that movie.
Yeah, it's funny.
But even like something's changed about watching that now as a result of the repeat of Grown Ups 2 watching.
What's changed?
I don't know. I'm kind of like, I'm looking for all the shit in the background and stuff. It started to bleed over into other movies.
That's not good.
Nah, man, it's really not. It's like ruining shit that I actually really love now, which is uncool.
To be expected, though, surely.
Do you know what I noticed this watch, though?
Did you notice that there are 71 13-inch seats on a standard school bus?
I didn't notice that. How does 71 work? Oh, I guess the bench at the back is like five. How does that go? 3-3?
I don't know. 71 seems like a lot.
That seems like a shitload. How many people do you get on each one of those?
They're big, okay, they're two, big two, those four. Yellow school buses, though. What I when I was in Toronto, I took a lot of photos of their school buses because they're the yellow school buses that you see when you watch TV and movies as a child in New Zealand. Over here, we've got like red buses and blue buses, but they're all just a boring regular bus shape. There's no panache.
Yeah.
Conversely, I imagine if an American came over here, they might take photographs of our school buses because they're like, whoa, look at these funny little buses. Gosh, this country's backwards.
They'd think we're so quaint.
What did you notice in the movie this week, Tim?
Stone Cold Steve Austin's performance, because he doesn't blink almost ever in the movie. In the first scene that he's in the entire time, he blinks precisely once, as far as I could tell. One time. That's commitment, bro. And it reminded me of, I was reading something recently that Haley Joel Osment went to Steven Spielberg when he was in AI, and he said, Steven, do you know what I reckon about robots? I reckon they don't blink. And apparently, you do not see Haley Joel Osment blink once in that movie. And he was like a tiny child when he did that. And he came to the director with that offer.
Was that a reveal?
What do you mean?
Well, is it known that Haley Joel Osment is a robot in that whole film?
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's like the whole... I haven't seen AI, which is crazy because I love robots. But
this is a robot heavy episode.
Yeah, man. Robots.
One of my old flatmates, a guy called Matt Frost, looks like Haley Joel Osment all grown up.
I thought you were going to say looks like a robot.
No, and we used to go to we'd go to sort of bars with him and stuff, and we'd get him to walk up to the front of the line, and one of us would go up with him and say, "Hey, I'm here with Haley Joel Osment. He's just visiting the country on a film shoot," and we'd get into bars.
That's so funny because Haley Joel Osment grown up looks like. And this is rough because he's super funny and talented, but like a big baby, like a really one of those adult.
This guy Matt
babies.
Frost, he's got a bit of a baby face.
Have you seen him in Always Sunny where he like plays Mac for the side? Fuck, it's funny. Good God, it's good stuff. I wanted to. So, Principal Tardio he's writing a letter on his screen, during the last day of school. And I really want to know what it is. And I don't think the resolution's high enough for me to like zoom in the background and figure it out. But you can definitely tell by the way that the text is laid out that it's a letter. And I wondered if it's his letter of resignation to the superintendent of the district.
Do you think that's something that they thought of in Grown Ups too? Because I do feel like the people who, we've said it before, the set dressers in the props department really put a lot of effort into it. So I feel like maybe they were sneaking in things like that. Because it's not like Arrested Development is a good example of all of the newspaper articles and stuff that you see in passing and everything that is like just loaded.
Mitch.
With
Hurwitz. Just packs that thing full of gags.
It would be nice if they had. I mean, I guess we would know by now.
Yeah, there's the blue footprints, bro.
Yeah.
Principal Tardio's blue footprints from walking out of his car, which
Tim, what really gives me a kick is when you lay into some expert level Grown Ups 2 shit like that, and you're like, yeah, bro, we got our Easter eggs, the blue footprints. And then, do you know what we do for free out of respect for you, the listener, is we share these hidden gems. When you're at a cocktail party, you can pass yourself off as a preeminent Grown Ups 2 expert, which, while not a particularly lucrative industry right now, surely there's going to be a market for it at some point in the future.
Yeah, hey, Richard, what a delicious Tom Collins. By the way, did you realize that when Bean is reading the menu to the ice cream parlor, he's holding it upside down? Bet you didn't. You only cracked that on like the fifth watch.
We had a fan reach out to us about that, like it was an Easter egg. And
it's
that's not an Easter egg. It's just
good on you for getting
gag.
In touch, but it's very signposted. It's there.
Also, an exciting news, we've had a wonderful designer has somehow found the drinking rules, written them into this beautiful piece of text, I'm just going to source her name for you.
It's one of those like really cool typography posters where it all looks dope.
She's based out of Brooklyn, New York City, where they paint murals of Biggie.
I don't understand how she got the... I don't understand how anyone got the roles out of that episode, though. I don't remember the episode, and I'm not sure I've listened to it since we recorded
Pauline Vasiliadis. Pauline Vasiliadis. We'll share it on the Facebook page.
It's really lovely. It's cool.
So for those of you who have been hanging out to play the drinking game, it's going to happen soon.
Oh, you should do it. You should like maybe, I don't know if this is cool with you. What's your name again?
Pauline.
Print it out. Put it on your wall.
Pauline. I'm begging you, please don't take my man. Miley Cyrus does a really good, like before she, have you seen that?
She does a really good
cover of Jolene.
It's probably the best thing she's ever recorded that I've heard, and I've heard it all.
Right up
I've
there with Party in the USA.
Yeah, man.
Patty, do you reckon Patty and Miley are having coitus?
Patty right goes, now.
Yeah, well, namely, do you reckon they're doing it right now? And secondly, do you reckon he goes, Patty in the USA? And she's got like a USA tattoo on her.
I'd be terrified to have sex with Miley Cyrus.
You're going to say Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Well, kind of either. But I just think it'd be a really scary proposition.
I'd be intimidated.
I'd be very intimidated.
Because her public persona now is so out there.
So sexually charged.
Yeah.
I feel like she'd
actually really respect.
She'd rip your genitals out.
I respect what Miley's done with her. Fuck, man. We are really dancing around grown-ups too this week.
There's a...
Tim, you said a very poignant thing.
What?
In the movie when I was talking about how the movie's a reflection of us, which was we're looking in the abyss.
And the abyss is looking back into us.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I just... don't give a flying fucking cunt of a shit anymore, eh? If it was up to me, I tell you what, I wouldn't have watched it this many times. And
do you want to see the puddle of goo that my brain has turned into while watching this movie? Is one of the observations I wrote down in my notebook.
Yeah.
Is Americans are good at basketball. That was the entire thought.
Jesus, mate.
And like, obviously... they're the home of the NBA. They're the Olympic and world champs.
It's like, one of the national sports, mate. It's right up there with baseball.
I love it how... one thing that's always sort of... I don't know if it irks me, but I've found curious about Americans is like, you win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you're the world champs.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying that those football teams aren't the best football teams in the world, but it's like... it's fucking horse shit for you guys to call it the world champs when it's only competed for in America.
It's the same with like, baseball. They call it the World Series. They're the only country that
competes.
Pull
your fucking head out of your asshole and like call it the American champs. I don't know. Look, I'm sorry. I don't mean it.
I've brought this up in a previous episode, but there's also the whole rugby thing. How they're the world champs of rugby because they competed in one Olympics games and won it when rugby was in the Olympic games in like the 20s.
So are they the defending Olympic champions of rugby? Yeah, that's pretty cool. But like full credit to them, there are other countries there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I noticed that they're good at basketball. Like, there's not
a
lot
of...
there's a few, because there's a few in the background of shot. There's quite a few people, like, in the gym. They're shooting some hoops down the ice cream parlor. There's a little game of half court going on in the background. Not a lot of missed baskets.
Yeah. But it is a movie.
Yeah, but, like, think about it. They don't care whether or not the shot in the background of shot, they don't care about whether or not the basket is made or not. So they're just going to use the footage in which the actors gave the best performance.
Don't take this the wrong way, but I don't fucking care about what you're talking about right now.
I'll finish the point.
Okay.
Which is just that. So statistically speaking, like for, I guess maybe they missed all the other shots and all the other takes, but I think that's really unlikely. I think you got to give it up for the extras who are playing basketball in this movie.
All right, good on you. Well done.
Hey, cool, bro. Hey, yeah, it's really fun doing this podcast with you, bro. Hey, I'm having a really fucking good time spending, like, literally, not even just to record the podcast now, but trying to organize this trip. I'm having a really good time spending, like, 3 hours of every fucking day of my life with you, all built around grown-ups too, bro.
Live it up, bro. There's a lot of people who wish they could spend 3 hours a day with me every day. I honestly couldn't name one.
Yeah, Look, I'm sorry. Let's not turn on each other.
it's gonna be a long 4 weeks if we do it.
What happens if we have a falling out?
Nothing good, eh? Nothing good at all.
And like the one thing that's keeping us together is grown-ups too.
It's like a terrible marriage. And grown-ups too, doing
it for the, we're doing it for the kid. But that's, yeah. I mean, because that's, then we've crossed over into something completely different. We're in the podcast, the movie has gone from like sort of a thing that we dislike, I guess you could say, together, or to the one thing, the one thread of friendship that still unites us. Mm. And then maybe from there we can build through the falling out. I think what we need to do is put this little baby to rest.
Or get couples counselling.
It'd be pretty funny if we went to couples counselling. So, how long have you been together? 48 weeks.
Yeah. What seems to be the problem?
Tim hardly looks at me during. So, you had a point before.
What I was going to say, Guy, is that I couldn't help but notice in the film this week, just to bring us back on track a little bit as to why we're here, that Kevin James's car is the smokiest car I've ever seen in a movie.
His wife's car. Yeah. He drives a truck, but when he's on the way to the car wash, you mean?
Yeah. It's just like, and it's not a cold day. It's definitely not steam.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Whatever, it's fucking smoke. The dude's a fucking auto mechanic. Like, the fuck, man. There's something wrong with the car.
Have a look at it.
Big time.
It's your wife's car.
Yeah.
Your kids are around it. They're breathing in the fumes.
The fucking exhaust coming out of that
thing. It's bad for the environment. And what he doesn't appreciate over there in Standing, Connecticut, is all of these greenhouse gases he's pumping into the atmosphere. That's just widening the hole in the ozone layer of little old New Zealand. When I go outside and I have to slap on SPF 50 fucking 8 o'clock in the morning.
You piece of shit. That's what people don't realise, man. That hole in the ozone layer is directly above New Zealand. Whoops.
I told some Canadians about it. And I was at some sushi restaurant in Montreal. I don't know how I was eating with these people. I think they were rich. And I was telling them about the hole in the ozone layer. And they were like, how many people live in New Zealand? I was like, about 4 million. They go, 4 million? We can just put you all in Alberta.
I don't want to move to Alberta. I want to stay here.
You guys are a real problem solver.
We've got like cool shellfish, like mussels. I bet you don't have that in Alberta. It's too cold for them.
We are, I don't think you're ever further than like 4 hours from the beach in New Zealand.
That's what I love about this country. You always buy a beach. You know? Something comforting about that.
I think it's in Step Brothers when Will Ferrell's wearing a t-shirt which says life's a beach. That's classic.
Is there a second bit to that? It's not like in Joe Dirt where he says like life's a garden, dig it.
No, it's just
life's a beach.
And maybe there's a picture of a beach on the t-shirt. I feel like it's like a reddish, pinkish kind of t-shirt and it's maybe yellow. The print is in yellow. If I was to wear it, that's the colour scheme I think I'd go for.
Okay. All right, mate.
I didn't even look that good in red.
Another thing I noticed about the movie, Oh, we've got to do like a shining light at some point. I ain't got nothing for that.
Worse than that, bro. I've got a shining light, aka the only remaining note in my book.
Well, I'm going to transform.
Got to go on a tour. We've got to throw a party. I feel like we've bitten off more than we can chew as hosts.
I'm out of steam. I'm out of energy. I'm out of gas.
What were you going to say? Go on.
Okay, my shining light, I've reappropriated it, is the fact that Chris Rock. So Kevin James is obviously just chucking pollution into the atmosphere, doesn't give a shit. Chris Rock's on board. That dude at dinner time in his own family house is drinking out of a plastic disposable cup. How fucking lazy are you, bro, that you're not washing glasses?
That is pretty bad.
He's probably got a dishwasher. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
It's intense. Come on.
It's weird for that to be the shining light and that it doesn't feel like a moment that you enjoyed.
I enjoyed it this week because I think I'd noticed it, but hadn't consciously spent any time thinking about
it. Okay, here's a funny thing that you were saying also while watching the movie is that if you were to notice a boom in shot,
yeah,
at this point in the project, that your world would come crumbling down.
Absolutely.
Can you extrapolate on that for us, please?
Well, I've been looking for so long now for either to see a lighting guy or a boom to just be hanging from the top of shot, but it's not there, man. I've looked. It's nowhere to be seen. There are like a few little glitches with the film. We've talked about a lot of them over the course of the podcast, little continuity errors and things, but there's no big, you don't see any crew in shot. You don't see any like lighting rig and you don't see a boom. But if I saw it this watch of it, it would just fucking blow my mind.
Would it sort of like...
Because it would be like it just got put in for me this week, which doesn't make any sense.
It would sort of undo your previous 47
watches. I legitimately feel like I've gone insane, and not in a fun way, but in a depressing way. I feel like I've gone bonkers. I don't know anything anymore. And four more watches just seems brutal.
Four.
Is that right?
It's a small number. Four. What's a bigger number, Tim? If I put these two numbers on scales, if I put 48 on one scale and four on the other, which scale? And it was, so it's 48 helpings of Grown Ups 2 or 4 helpings of Grown Ups 2. Which scale would you choose?
But I've already eaten the 48. So I'm like at vomiting. I'm sick with Grown Ups 2. It's infected my veins. I've got like diabetes type Grown Ups 2. And now you're saying, I know you've had a lot. I know you've had 4 dozen helpings. But bro, all you need is a third dozen more helpings.
Well, yeah, I guess the tragic thing about the situation you find yourself in is that the antidote for all of this Grown Ups 2 you've consumed is, ironically, just a little bit more Grown Ups 2.
That, nothing works like that. That's like homeopathy logic.
That works like this podcast. This podcast works like that.
If a snake bites you, the cure is not more venom. You know, I'm up to the fucking eyeballs in Grown Ups too, and I can't take it anymore.
And I just want to squeeze a little bit more into you. The other thing is that the joy in this project now is not, obviously it never was in watching the movie, but it's in watching you be miserable.
Cheers, bro.
Well, I'm like as uncomfortable with that thought as you are, but like the only thing which I really get out of the project at this point is watching you invisible discomfort.
You are the definition of Schadenfreuden.
What's Schadenfreuden mean?
It's like German for sour grapes, taking pleasure in other people's misery.
But yeah, but it's quite a specific kind of Schadenfreuden. Like, I didn't know I had this.
You've discovered a darkness in you didn't know that you possessed.
My shining light.
It's kind of like in Lord of the Rings, the One Ring.
You're
wielding a lot of power and you're discovering little evil parts of yourself.
Do you think this project is derailing me as a person?
I think it's making you a worse person.
Do you think specifically within the world of the podcast, or do you think in my general life?
Oh, no, you as a person. You as a complete person.
The whole package. Yeah, so not just Guy Montgomery from the worst era of all time, but Guy Montgomery from Charlotte and
Alexander
Stephen.
Alexander Halifax Montgomery, born in Christchurch in 1987.
I was born in Wellington in 1988. Do you even know me, bro? Can't. Nah, you've lost credibility.
Took a few stabs. Didn't pay out.
My shining light is in the supermarket, and the background is shot. There is a milk carton with the word chug on it, which means that there's a brand of milk either in the stand in Connecticut or in all of America called Chug. That is a fucking dope name for a milk company. It's also kind of like paradoxical because chug is one of the last things I think of when I think of milk.
We saw a dude chugging milk last night. It wasn't pleasant. Well, we saw the aftermath of it. Went to a comedy gig. Hey?
It was iced tea.
Oh, was it?
He chugged a lot of iced tea.
Oh, I thought it was milk. We should have chugged milk. We went to a comedy gig and the guy's act was basically he laid down a lot of newspaper in a bowl in the center. And prior to the show starting, he had drunk like 2 liters of what I thought was milk, evidently iced tea, and was just going to vomit in a bucket.
No, but he did a few one-liners first. And then he said, sorry, I'm not feeling very well. I ate some pink chicken today and I just drank 2 liters of iced tea.
Green tea.
And he started trying to vomit.
Yeah.
And then he couldn't. And then he said, this will make it better, and put on Come On Eileen by Dexy's Midnight Runners and proceeded to spend about a minute with his hand down his mouth.
Yeah. And he vomited a little bit into the bowl and then he drank it again. Shout out to David Koryos.
When he drank it, he put on Happy by Pharrell.
He thought he was going to vomit a lot more than he did.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That was my shining light, is chug. The chug.
I'm not going to sing the song today, Guy. I don't have it in me.
Which song? Either.
Yeah, either. Can you...
Paddy Schwartz, party time. Paddy Schwartz ate Valium, and now he doesn't.
Did he?
Want to party so hard. No, I'm just trying to qualify the low energy.
I think where we're at is more of a lithium kind of a vibe.
What does lithium do?
You have it when you're like really in a very bad way with depression. And I think it kind of just numbs you.
On the periodic table?
Yeah, it's an element. Yep.
Buzzy.
Lithium. It's also a...
That's glycerine.
Oh, yeah, it is too.
The Bush song.
Yeah, but there is a song by... Have you heard Homer Simpson's cover of that song?
Glycerine.
Margarine. It's so good. But what I was thinking of is the Nirvana song. But again, that's neither here nor there. What is here or there is Paddy
Schwartz. Part of time with Paddy Schwartz. He's running around the house on his favorite little cat. No, it's a kitten. His name is Michael. Patrick, get off the kitten. It's not strong enough for a human being. I didn't even enjoy that.
I didn't know you had it in you, though. I'm proud of you. Do you have one?
If you're listening, Paddy, fucking shout us a slice of Blaze pizza, bro.
Paddy, what would be great when we come to LA? And I want to take this moment to say,
okay,
holy fuck my ass, thank you so much if you have given us any money in the Indiegogo.
Even if you haven't, thank you. It is,
but especially if you have.
Especially if you have, but it has been probably one of the most overwhelming experiences of my life to see us launch...
Stop banging that plate.
...a silly little Indiegogo. And just the outreach of...
The enthusiasm.
The enthusiasm and the consumption of it. I don't know how I'm even talking. It's just been insane.
People have approached it with a lot of gusto. They've just been throwing money at us hand over fist, and it's just lovely. It's really lovely. So thanks.
It's fucking awesome. We're going to... we'll make a little thank you something video of us just saying thanks, barreling the camera.
Having said that, I don't know if it can be today, because...
So you can feel it. So you can feel the things.
I feel blue.
That's okay.
I feel blue, bro.
That's okay. Be happy. People have now officially paid... I mean, by proxy, I guess, they've paid for you to feel blue.
Mm. I can take no joy in that right now.
My Paddy Schwartz party time from the movie, actually, is in one of the bits. He's the party scene with all the frat boys. He's standing next to Jared Sandler, nephew of Adam. And they both don't look 100% confident in their choices as actors. And I thought, hashtag nepotism, how are ya?
What? What do you mean?
I was like, well, you know.
They both can't act and they're both in the movie as a result of who they're related to. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. It's an interesting one for a party time. It's a little bleak, but then again, I had a pretty fucked up one from a shining light.
It's old school, bro.
Yeah.
It's a throwback. Okay. If JFK was president now, he would not be like revered like he was.
What's your point, sir?
JFK was just, he was like, he played the president card pretty hard with his life, you know?
Yeah.
He was getting out there, shaking hands.
Certainly was. Kissing babies.
Kissing babes. That's what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is that it's old school. In the same way, you know, just getting Patty and Jared in the film. It's old school. It's just like, look, you know, I know this isn't going to be completely popular, but we're doing it old school.
Righto.
I really feel like we're fucking meandering down a track to nowhere.
Then let us jump on a bus that'll take us far away to a resting place.
You can
we don't have to watch the movie for another
You're
week.
You're being a lazy lover
roll up
for the mystery tour and roll up for the mystery tour and
the Steve Buscemi mystery tour is coming to take me away.
Coming to take me away. Take me today. That was a weird one.
Steve Buscemi's in the fucking movie. He's pretty fucking injured. His arms are
look,
in the touchdown
position.
Yeah, you've heard this. What happened to him is this.
Tell me.
Are you familiar with the Haas
Eagle? Show me how you do that trick. The one that makes me scream, she said. The one that makes me laugh, she said. Throw her arms around my head. Show me how you do it. And I promise that I'll run away with you. Do you like The Cure?
No, I don't actually. Nah.
Did you like it then?
Yeah, I did then. Cool. I like your version of it.
I do know what the Haas Eagle is. It's probably the greatest bird of all time.
Yeah, it's
tragically
the biggest,
extinct,
I think.
Because when the Māori ate all of the moa, which was a big land mammal, a land-based bird here in New Zealand.
It wasn't a mammal, it was a bird.
Can a bird be a mammal? Do you know that we're all ungulates? Anyway. So the Haas Eagle was made extinct because humans ate all of its food.
And the moa was the only thing big enough to sustain it as a food source because the Haas Eagle was so fucking massive.
A moa, for reference, is like, I don't know if it's twice the size of an ostrich.
They grew to something like 3 meters tall when they were adults.
Moa's a big bird.
Big old bird. Couldn't fly.
A Haas Eagle
ate that.
That's how big this bird is.
So apparently the Haas Eagle, if it was around today, would be a genuine threat to humans because it would pick up kids, bro. That's how intense that bird is. And it was endemic to New Zealand. You can only get it here as far as we know. Anywho, my point being, in the first movie, there's a Haas Eagle, okay? Steve Buscemi has twins in the first movie, twin baby boys. And they're newborns, and he's so delighted when they're first born that he runs outside of the delivery room with them like Rafiki in Lion King and holds them up in the air, one in each arm, just delighted, ready to show the world his beautiful new baby boys.
With Sherry Terry.
Correct. No, his first wife.
Different wife.
Yep, different wife. And a Haas Eagle comes and in each talon clutches one of the babies, grabs them out of Steve Buscemi's arms, flies away, never to be seen again. Steve Buscemi is so psychologically scarred by this event that he can't move his arms out of that position. So whilst a lot of people think it was a physical injury that put him in that locked position. It's actually psychological torment of seeing his first and only newborn children taken away from him by a harsed eagle. And it caused such a horrific sort of a post-traumatic stress.
It would affect your sort of effect muscle on, tissue, presumably holding your arms up like that as well.
It actually affected his nervous system, which meant he only had 40% feeling in his body for a long time.
Wow, dude, that was a good one.
Thank you. Now it's time for us to leave, Guy. Back into the world. Sons, grown-ups too, for 7 days.
Oh, man.
And
I feel like we're getting off a boat that we've been on forever.
Yeah. Look,
shit, bro.
What?
How good is it going to feel when you say that and it's like, and never again?
Yeah, in 1 month. If you're in LA or can get to LA, we'd so love to see you. Yeah. We've got two events. The first one is at Cinefamily, and that's on the 17th of Feb. One-year anniversary.
You can buy tickets on that.
And the second one
is at UCB Sunset. It's the new UCB venue. I think it's in West Hollywood. Mm. And that's going to be at 8 p.m.?
Yeah, it's on the 18th.
It's on the 18th. It's the night afterwards. And that's going to be, should we announce it now? A very special one-off event?
Yes, absolutely. Let us.
We're going to watch Grown Ups. We're not doing it at the venue.
The first one
we're
going to
watch
about.
Grown Ups 1, finally. I'm so fucking excited about it. What we could do is try and organise maybe somewhere, a public space or somewhere we can all watch
like
it together.
A sports bar or
a
something.
A bar or even a house, if someone had a house they wanted to share with us.
Ooh,
and fans.
Big,
but we're going to watch that. Then we're going to go to UCB Sunset and we're going to record a special edition of the podcast. It's probably going to be really upbeat.
Yeah.
So that's on the 18th at UCB Sunset. And once again, thank you so much for all of your ludicrously generous donations. To the two people who gave $400, thank you. You will get your handwritten copy of Grown Ups 2 from memory as written by myself and Tim.
Yeah.
Thank you, and also fuck you.
both of those.
If you want to donate, head along to Indiegogo, worst idea of all time.
Yeah. I'll chuck it up on the Facebook. I'll put it to the top. You'll see it. Just fucking get out there. Get on the Google. You know how it works. And fucking just go about your lives, people. You know, like, just go and live every moment.
Yeah, I would. What I like to do, you know, on the occasion is I go out there and I just love every day.
Because my dad said one time to me, he said...
What did he say?
He said, before you know it, Tim, your precious time slips away.
My dad used to say exactly the same thing to me.
Good on you, Dad. And all dads. See you guys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.